Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in a New York state of mind. I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day. Out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, cause I've let it slide. I don't care if it's Chinatown or on Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind. Oh, yeah.
state of mind. I'm just taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. 'Cause I'm in a New York state of mind. Yeah,
well, that's Billy Joel singing New York State of Mind. Story goes he was on his way home. He refers to it as any place you go in the world. When you head home, it's New York City was his home, so it's a New York State of Mind. He thought of the song idea on the Greyhound bus heading back home. Well, welcome, my friends, to the show that I guess will end tonight. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for tonight. The Man Cave will be the last edition of The Man Cave with Steven 76. Hi, Steven. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Hatter?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I survived the holidays.
Yeah. Barely.
Yeah. That's time of year for me. But, this will be the last show, and there is a prompt or a topic that we are going to be talking about, and it's Billy Joel, your favorite artist, right? So we got all sorts of stuff. Billy Joel. For you.
First record I ever owned in my life was Billy Joel Glass Houses.
Do you know, in the research that I did today, this afternoon, the first album to be transferred or made to a CD was Billy Joel?
That I did not know.
That's what it said. He has to be a first one, and it was him. This is. I don't know what album or what track it was, but interested. Yeah, Billy Joel. Let's see. I was looking up his awards. 26 Grammy Awards, 10 Tony nominations. He's on the Walk of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in the Long Island Songwriters Hall of Fame. It goes on and on and on. He as a solo artist, he has sold... Oh, there's only two other solo artists that has surpassed him in sales, in record sales, and that's Elvis Presley and Garth Brooks. He's number three of all time. Very impressive.
Yeah, that's some good company.
Yeah, very much.
But I just looked it up. The first album to be released on CD was Billy Joel's 52nd Street. A good album.
52nd Street. Yeah. Interesting. And let's see, Billy Joel, married Christie Brinkley, his third wife? That was his third wife or second? Third wife.
Yeah.
He's his third wife. And we all sat back and go, what? Whoa. That's like Lovell was his name, and Redhead. I don't remember her name.
What, Julia Roberts, wasn't it?
Yeah, Julia Roberts, yeah. You got to say, take a pause and go, what are you thinking, man? I mean, specifically for Lyatt Lovell and not Billy Joel. Yeah, what an artist. what I found out, he's human. He has the problems that a lot of people have. Seems to be a very conscientious artist in his songs. He wrote all of his own songs. Very impressive. Indeed. Oh, the Long Island Music Hall of Fame. That's what the other one was. Yeah. Oh, it's also Deborah Lee. Yeah, I forgot. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm chopped liver.
I got into Billy Joel.
Guys.
Hi, Deb. She's going to have to kick off a little early after a few minutes here, but don't rush back, but we'll try to still be on when you get back. So Deborah took the time. We loaded every song that you would want to hear. So let's see if that's true. What song would you, out of all the Billy Joel's songs, which one would you want?
Deb actually gave me the list of the songs that she put in the studio. But you know, I know something funny. My favorite one of all time is not on the list. It's one that didn't get any radio play. Oh, boy, they did not let me put the album cover on the board. It didn't get any radio play.
Tell me the song.
I remember that.
It's called Close to the Borderline.
I remember you saying that. I thought I would recognize it if I saw it, but no. Okay, well, how about you? Let's see. We have a couple that you put in, too. I see. Elf on the Shelf and North Pole.
I had promised to bring you a couple of clips that would really both of them had me crying, laughing so hard when I first saw them. So I think that you'll enjoy them too.
Which one do you want to play first?
Well, you could play the Elf on the Shelf if you want. It's a Saturday Night Live skit.
Okay.
Jason Momoa, of all people, plays Scrappy, the Elf on the Shelf, in this skit, and he is absolutely hilarious.
Take our first little music break. And Elf on the Shelf, It's not it. It jumped. As soon as I went to hit it, it jumped.
I hate when that happens.
Here it goes. Elf on the Shelf. There it is.
During the Christmas season, Santa sends an elf to every child's home to see if they're being naughty or nice. All day they watch their child, never blinking and never moving, and each night they return to the North Pole to report back to Santa.
Ho, ho, ho! Welcome back, elves on shelves. I hope you've all been keeping a good eye on your children.
Yes, Santa!
Wonderful! Dottie, how has little Elizabeth been this year?
She's been a very good girl, Santa. She's listening to her parents and doing her chores.
Splendid! And how is little Matthew, Deedlebeep?
Well, he didn't want to eat his vegetables at dinner.
Oh, no!
But then he did, and he liked them.
Hooray! And what about young Marshall, Scrappy?
I want a new kid, Santa.
But why? You've been watching Marshall for 13 years.
Things have changed this year. Oh, he figured out he could do something with his body. Now he won't stop doing it.
I hope it's not fighting with his little brother. That would be very naughty indeed.
No, this is definitely a solo activity. Considering I can't close my eyes, I have no choice but to watch him, and, you know, he does do it a lot.
Well, is what he's doing naughty, or is it nice?
It's not really either, Sam.
That silly, Strabby. All elves know that everything humans do is either naughty or it's nice.
It isn't so black and white, D.O.B. It's just the thing that humans learn how to do, and then they go insane for a while, and they do it nonstop. Please, Santa, can I have another kid?
But Marshall loves you, Scrabby.
I know. But sometimes he looks at me when he's doing it, and I think he's trying to make me a part of it.
Well, lucky you, Scrabby. Now, what does each of your children want for Christmas this year?
A train set. A new soccer ball.
I want to say.
Oh, Scrabby, certainly Marshall wants something from Santa. Let's see what's on my list. Oh, Scrabby, you spelled flashlight wrong.
I wish that were the case.
Well, is there anything else he wants?
Can I get some soft socks?
Well, then he shall have the softest socks in the land.
We're not going to stay that way, Santa.
Scrabby, it sounds like you don't like Marshall anymore.
No, I do. Just... 13 is a confusing age.
Whatever do you mean?
I don't know. He like looks at his body, and he has like his little boobies, and he squeezes real hard, you know, like because he hates them and he's mad at him. He's like, go away!
Oh my, that's odd.
Yeah. Listen, can I please have another kid?
Oh, I think I know what's happening. You're upset he's growing up.
Oh, he grew up, Santa. That's done.
Don't be sad, Scrabby. Every kid stops believing in us someday, but then they have kids of their own, and the magic starts again.
I don't know if Marshall will have anything left in the bank by then.
Well, I can't wait to visit all your children and bring them Christmas cheer.
That will just make a lot of noise when you get to Marshall's room. He'll stop for a few seconds if he hears something.
Oh, Scrabby, you are a silly elf. Now back to your children.
I think I've seen one of those skits. Talk about being spanked or something for being naughty. Who's the third elf?
That was Jason Momoa.
Okay.
The guy who plays Aquaman.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's funny stuff.
I think whoever wrote that one was a genius. They were just an absolute genius.
You know, we didn't get to play the new Christmas Eve this year. Didn't get to play sweaty balls.
Oh, well, that one should be played.
Peach sweaty. But so, how many albums, Billy? What does he have? Like 50 albums?
Yeah, he's got. Oh my God, he's got so many. But original, you know, because a lot of them now they're basically just greatest hits and different types of greatest hits. So, I mean, right. When you go to original albums, I had to make sure that I had them all. And first I had them on cassette, then I had them on CD, and now I just got to go to YouTube whenever I want to hear a song.
Yeah, I heard it. Billy Joel, well, he started when he was 15. He did, played... for some band in the 60s, 15, when he played the first gig for somebody in the studio. As of 2014, he signed a contract to do one show a month at Madison Square Garden. And as of 2018, every show was sold out. That's quite impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually, I think he did his last one, though, last year. I think he stopped.
Is that it? Yeah. Say that again.
I said he'll be back though, but I did want to say it's unconfirmed. But what they say is when he was 15, if you listen to the song, it was him on the piano.
Say the song again. You broke.
Leader of the Pack.
Leader of the Pack. That's right. Interesting. Yeah, it's like Stevie Winwood. He was underage. He had to be snuck in to play the gigs. But let's see. Yeah, 26 Grammys. My God. That's got to be close to the most.
I don't know.
Let's see. And let's see. 225 million records sold worldwide. He had, 77 million in the U.S. alone? Something like that. Let's see, can't read my writing yet. So in a day I'll have to learn how to write. well, we wanted to also, Deb, you still there?
I am still here, and I was trying to find the doorbell, but I can't. AP is here, and I have it on good authority. He's in a bit of a hurry.
Okay. All right. Well, what we're doing, Stephen, is showing our appreciation for you and Kay being part of our group and starting your own and having a sort of a sister group out there. Shows on Blog Talk. AP Taylor, how are you?
I'm very well, Mr. Haddock. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I hear you're in a rush, and you have something for us.
Yes. Well, I had to stop by because I have it on good authority that Stephen likes Men at Work, and I have it on even better authority that he likes a song called Overkill, and given both of those things, I have a poem on the board, Adam.
Okay. I'm running down the hall, and I'm there.
Here we go. There you go. You got it?
Yep, got it.
You know, well, this goes a bit like this, Adam. I just like the beat. Often due to his alliteration, his rhyming is complete. It's probably a situation. History, no respite, hovers over complications. I hope we'll be all right. Perhaps it's just infatuation. Day after day, night after night, his thoughts steered from gray. Oh, held near, then step away. Atones in work complete, only trades in fascination. We'll walk upon the beats until see ya. Destination, little to deviate by rights, though always interpretations. At least there's pretty lights, and though there's little variations, day after day he appears, night after night his thoughts steered from gray. Oh, so busy and step away. Welcome back another day. Through the vision sweet, I think about the variations of shows an hour steep and possibly the limitations, especially at night. I worry over situations. I know we'll be all right. Just overkill. day after day it appears. Night after night, my heartbeat shows the fears. Ghosts appear and fade away. Ghosts appear and fade away. Ghosts appear and fade away. End poem.
How cool. Now that was to what song?
Overkill by Men at Work or Colin Hay. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, what do you think there, Steve?
Yeah, I like this a lot, and I appreciate it too, AP. It's definitely my favorite Men at Work song for sure, and you did it justice. I like how you mixed some of the original lyrics in too, and I have to say that I did chuckle a little bit about hold beer and step away. That definitely made me smile. I could hear the saxophone as you were singing. It's an awesome.
There you go. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I was having trouble. Go ahead, AP. Push for time.
I was just going to say it's a great song. There's a wonderful version of that song that I sent to Stephen that Choir 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 did up in Canada with Colin Hay, and just a terrific song. And he's a fantastic musician. So very, very good.
Cool. I appreciate you bringing that to the show.
Hello. I thought I better put something in for the last sort of cave. So all the very best, Stephen, and hopefully we'll see you dropping in now and again.
You will. Thank you very much, AP.
AP, what's the weather like down? What's the weather like? What's the weather like in Australia?
Bloody hot. Bloody hot. Really? With the emphasis on bloody. Yeah. We're up over 100. The air conditioner's on. It's it's seriously hot.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks, AP.
No, pleasure, Hatter. Thanks, Stephen, again for your help and assistance. And we will catch up down the track.
All righty.
Be
Taylor.
Thank you, Doc.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys. Yep.
Have fun.
That's AP Taylor has left the building.
Okay, so I just want to say something before I leave you gentlemen.
Yeah.
Stephen, it's been fantastic having you hosting and on the shows, and although you'll be missed on that side of the studio, I hope to see you often on the other side with your recordings and calls when you can. And please keep in mind that if the Jimmy Buffett special calls for you, or maybe a Christmas in July for Kay, or any other reason, just let us know. We'd love to have you guest host now and then. But
absolutely.
I just want all the best for you both, and have a lot of love and respect for you.
Before
I start
there?
Crying, girl, I'm going to go now. And you give Kay a hug for me.
I'll do that.
All right. Love and respect. Night, Hatter.
All right. Night, Deb. Thank you. Yeah. Is Kay there with you?
Somewhat. We've had a super busy day, so she's doing some.
Oh, okay.
She's got to do some health before we can go to bed.
Okay. Okay, yeah, tell her that I said hi. Blow in her face.
I'll do that.
Studio just reset. I was going to. So tell us what you know of Billy Joel. Did you ever see him live?
Oh, many times. Many
really?
Times.
Okay,
once
cool.
I got my driver's license. Yeah, once I got my driver's license, every time he came around to Cleveland, I went and saw him.
And was that at, you have a memorial stadium or something, I mean, a memorial pavilion or something?
It was at a place that no longer it was where the Cavaliers first started playing. The Richfield Coliseum is where it always was.
Cool.
I've seen Billy Joel 4 times in concert, and the only person close to that, it's a tie because I saw Jimmy Buffett 4 times in concert as well.
Okay. Mine would be Carlos Santana 5 times.
Well, there you
never
go.
Let me down. Never let me down. Carlos is the music that spans the test of time. You know?
Yeah. I know it's a little off subject, but Kay and I actually just went and saw a concert for the first time since 1999. We went and saw a concert, and we went and saw Depeche Mode, and it was awesome.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the name.
Oh, you would know them. Probably their biggest hit would be Your Own Personal Jesus. Enjoy the Silence. Yeah, they just said that. Enjoy the Silence is one of their. I Just Can't Get Enough. Yeah, I Just Can't Get Enough. That was their bubblegum hit.
why don't you pick a song you want to hear? I'm in the studio.
Well, Kay said that she, Deb said that she put Close to the Borderline in there, so we could listen to that, my all-time favorite.
Okay. Now that's going to be, probably be, I'm looking in the, what's the name of it? The Longest Time?
Closer to the Borderline.
Oh, Closer to the Borderline, okay. That's it. I guess I gotta. I don't know where it is.
Might have to read.
Pick another
us,
one.
Eh?
Tell it.
Let me look at my messages here and see what.
Okay.
Well, you know what? We were talking about 52nd Street, and my life was on 52nd Street, so you could play that one.
Okay. My life. There it is. And here we go. My life. That was the intro song for Bosom Buddies, wasn't it?
Yeah, I actually just put that on the board, and it was.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually put a picture of the series too. Tom Hanks, and
Peter Scolari. Peter Scolari.
Yep.
Yeah, and Sherwood Forest. I remember that. They only had that song lead in for one or two seasons, then they changed it to something else. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But,
the first two seasons, but it didn't last much longer after that. I think it only lasted like 3 or 4 seasons tops.
Yeah.
It was ahead of its
time. To set the record straight, Billy Joel is not planning on leaving New York City, although his mansion is listed at $29 million. So if you want to pick up a house on the side, Billy Joel might sell it to you. And he's just announced his. What's that? Yeah,
I said all the money I'm forcing him, so maybe.
It says that he did wrap up his iconic Madison Square Garden residency and is now setting out on several North American tour dates in 2024. He's going to be on the road with Sting and Stevie Nicks. What a threesome.
Yeah, I did hear about the Stevie Nicks thing. I didn't know Sting was going to be with him, though. That'd be great.
Yeah, it says...
Sting's in my top five.
Really?
Yep.
Have you heard his Norwegian folk songs?
I believe I have, yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they were Christmas,
right.
Some kind of Christmas food. It says that on Thursday, Billy Joel, 74, announced that he will be playing a handful of massive stadium shows in 2024. And he'll be joined by special and co-headlining guests Stevie Nicks and Sting on selected dates.
Yeah, that's right. Sting was only one date somewhere down south. I'm not going to be able to see that one. But
where's Busch Stadium?
I don't know.
Busch Stadium is
come on, there, Anheuser.
That'd be St. Louis.
I would think so.
Where did I see that? That's where the next big date will be. For the taking daughters to see and meet Taylor Swift. Okay. One thing I want to pass on, it's a bit of sad news. David Soul played Hutch, died today. That was my name through my childhood and through school, and people still call me Hutch. So a little connection, sad to hear.
You mean Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah, David Soul.
No. Did not know that.
Yeah, he also played Joshua or something on the Here Comes the Brides. He was it was Jason, Jeremy, and him. Okay, who is it? If you remember that song, that show. Let's see, Chicago, Denver, St. Louis. There's Missouri on the 27th September next year. We'll play Seattle, Denver solo, and the first time playing in the major cities in 8 years and five years respectively. And one of the two fellow rock stars will join him at the other newly announced dates. Stevie Nicks. The stage in Chicago, while Sting will help wrap up the live run at the tour at the tour closing in St. Louis.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm looking at the whole thing. He's not coming to Ohio at all. What a bummer.
You coming to California? I'm waiting. I'm just still scrolling down to get there.
San Diego in April.
Yeah, that's only 9 hours away.
That's it. That's
California's a big state.
Yeah. The only one.
What group or solo artist did you regret not seeing? Maybe had a chance to go see him and something came up, or you decided not to go and regret it. Who would that be?
One group that I, I guess it's a solo artist and a group, but the one that I always regret never having seen would be Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Okay. Yeah, nice choice. Mine's Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. I had a chance to see both of them, and I, because of, I tell the truth, my parents wouldn't let me go.
Parents, they always screw things up, don't they?
You know, that's probably the reason I never went to jail was, you know, I had parents. My parents were great that way. They sheltered six kids quite well. My dad was a cop, and my mom wasn't.
I never got to see Diego. Young, when all my friends every Halloween or October were going to see Rocky Horror, I was never allowed to go. My parents would never let me go, so I didn't get to see it until after I was.
Yeah. Well, who was the first concert you went to?
My first concert would have been Billy Joel.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Mine would be Chicago Transit Authority, Chicago, 25 or 64, Color My World, all that good stuff. I'm a man.
Yeah. Do you have any concerts you regret going to?
Oh, yeah. The Rolling Stones. I wanted to go. I went down to Oakland, traveled down to Oakland, just to say that I had seen them in my lifetime, to tell you the truth. And the only good thing is Carlos Santana played before him, so that was great. That was one of the times I saw Carlos. But, yeah, it was the last of their American tour, which was like 50 shows or some ridiculous thing. It was Mick Jagger's birthday. It was 100 degrees in Oakland in that damn Coliseum. And it was just blistering. Then they showed up 3 hours late. But I do have to explain when they showed up. After a couple hours, we started seeing helicopters sort of hovering the outside perimeter of the stadium. And when they were ready to come out, what they did is they released red and black balloons from different areas around the ballpark there. And the helicopters kept them in with the wash. There was three helicopters that just sat over the top of the stadium, and they wouldn't let – they're swirling these, million balloons. And they started throwing – blown-up dummies out of the helicopters and colored ping-pong balls. And if search for some color or something written on it, you could get something somewhere, some gift or something. I was told we were up in the stands. It's the only time we were never in the infield. And the Stones came out. They were terrible. People were leaving, and the first set just they either couldn't hear each they couldn't hear each other. That's what it sort of sounded like, or they were just so messed up because it was Nick's birthday. So, but I did see the Stones, so I don't regret that, but I expected a little better. And it was just a miserable day down there. Yeah. What was your best concert? What was the best concert you saw?
Best concert I ever saw, Jethro Tull.
Oh, Ian.
Yep, that was a damn good show.
I went to the third Day on the Green in Oakland, same place, the Oakland Coliseum. It was the British invasion. There was Gary Wright, Fleetwood Mac, Peter Frampton, Dave Mason, Robin Trower, and I think that was it. Great concert down there. It's either that one or we went to a show in Memorial Auditorium here in Sacramento. It was Doobie Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Blue Oyster Cult. No, not Blue Oyster Cult. Doobie Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd, and there was another band that played before him. But the piano player for Lynyrd Skynyrd put his hand through a plate glass window at a party the night before in San Francisco, so they didn't have the piano player. And I wanted to hear, Call Me the Breeze. But what they did instead is they stood out there with the lead guitarist. It was Ronnie Van Zant, Rodgington, the Skunk Baxter from Doobie Brothers, all standing. They played Freebird for like, it seemed like 45 minutes, just jamming. It was one of the better concerts. I think the English Invasion, because it was all day long, his third day on the green, there was like 6-7 bands. But I regret not, Paul McCartney came through Sacramento a couple years ago, and I didn't even try to get tickets. I could have made a call, maybe gone. I just don't do crowds well as much as I used to.
You know, what kills me is what they want. Even for nosebleeds, you got $100 a ticket. It's like, good God.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It depresses me to see how much it would cost to go down to a Giants game or a 49er game. They moved further away. The Niners went down to San Mateo. That's further away from Cal State.
I haven't been to I don't know if I can call them the Indians or not, but the last time I went and saw them, they were still the Indians. I haven't been to an Indians game since John Rock was in the bullpen. I haven't been to a Browns game since Brian Sipe was quarterback. But I have been to Cavs games, but not since Brad Doherty and Mark Price and Hot Rod Williams was on the team, because at the time, my sister was actually a cheerleader for the Cavs, so we got free season tickets.
Oh, really? Oh, how cool is that? I went to see the Kings a couple times when they built the new stadium, the Arco Arena, out here years ago. But the one that I enjoyed was we had the Sweet 16 NCAA men's basketball national tournament. So we had the Sweet 16 here in Sacramento. There was four teams. You got to see them. That was a lot better than the Kings, I thought.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I quit watching hockey.
I'd like to see a hockey game sometime.
Yeah, that would be good. I guess Oakland down here is building a new pavilion for the Goldens, for the Warriors. That's usually where they play hockey also. I don't know what team would be in the – is the Kings in L.A.?
We do have we've got a minor league hockey team in Cleveland called the Lake Erie Monsters, but I've never gotten around to seeing them.
The Lake Erie Monsters. Minor league baseball, we have the River Cats here in Sacramento. Excellent to go see. It's always kicked back, never really crowded. And these are the guys that go up to the Oakland A's. In Oakland, the A's are moving. Guess where?
Where?
Las Vegas.
Where the Raiders went?
Yep. That's what I heard. Must be true. It's on the internet.
We have a minor league team. It's actually pretty close to us. It's not even a half hour, maybe a half hour drive away. And they're I think they're single-A ball club for the Guardians, not the Indians. And they're called the Lake County Captains.
There's got to be a big group of fans in Washington also that refuse to call. Did you see Washington? They didn't. Oh, yeah, they did pick a name, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
But they'll always be the Redskins. And I'm sorry, it's the Cleveland Indians. I don't care. That was a sad thing. They buckled under that.
Yeah, I know. I was telling Kay about that, too. You know, Atlanta, they didn't cave. You know, just don't root for the team. I don't care. That's what they should have said. Then don't root for them.
You know, I read up – last time we talked about this, I went and read up of why the Braves haven't been forced to change their name. They are – it's some kind of contractual thing. And I don't know – it started with when they had those pitchers. The I can't even think of the names. In Atlanta, shoot. Anyway, it was some contractual thing where they would not be able to do it. Or I found it odd. Are you at your computer? See, ask that question. Why the Braves hadn't been forced to do. The Alzheimer's is getting me, so I might some memory. But I know there's a story there of why they haven't changed. And you know what? Brave, it's that chant they do.
Yeah, the whole time hushed up, yeah.
You know, and that was made up in Hollywood. The Indians didn't know anything about that. You know, and I'm sorry. It's only racist. It's only sexist. It's only mean if you mean it that way. If there's no intent, if I was to slip by the slip of the tongue and I said something off color, does that make me a racist or a sexist? No, I'm not. I'm not one. So it's just there's a slip of the tongue. People need to get over it. And I don't think they asked the Indians, "Are you offended by professional ball teams using?" Redskins or Indians.
Well,
they weren't even Indians.
I've heard many say that they were not offended. And I'm not going to, you know, bother with a picture or anything, but I've seen it before. And the picture of the guy who led the whole movement against the Cleveland Indians, he's whiter than I am. Anyway, it says that the Braves have formed a strong relationship with the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indians in North Carolina.
There it is.
Yeah. So there's no.
And that's smart. Well, I remember they were trying to make the military change the like the Apache attack helicopter or the Chinook, and they were asked the Indians if they were offended. They said no. They were proud to be an honor to have such a thing be, you know, be called in response or respect for them. I bet they didn't ask them about the teams.
Right.
And the mass exodus of all high schools and junior colleges and universities that had to change their name. And by the hundreds.
There's another one too that hasn't though. They're called the Utes.
Utes, yeah, Utah. University of Utah.
Yeah. And they haven't changed their name yet either.
Well, you know, it's just like if you were to be the Cherokees, now that wouldn't be, is it more wrong to say brave or squaw or warrior? Now they're going to say warriors. You know, there's another one. Where does that line stop?
Right, yeah.
That's ridiculous. And how much money it costs the Washington Redskins to change to, what are they, the Marauders? What are they?
No. It's something. I thought it was something. Let me find out here. I don't remember. Nationals. That's the baseball. Commanders. Washington Commanders.
Okay, that's right. Something just hit my plate glass window. I'm going to start a song, and then I'm going to go check that out. It sounded not good. Let's go with I'll play that one already. Only the Good Die Young. How's
sure.
That?
And only the good die. Much more fun, you know that only the good die young. Oh, baby, I tell you, only the good die young. Only the good die
Die Young. So, Steve, do you know what that song is written about?
I thought it was actually something about a girl that he was trying to,
he tried to talk a Catholic girl to go all the way with him, I guess.
Yeah.
I did notice a lot of the songs, a lot of the hits were sort of dedicated or created from his first wife, Elizabeth Weber, who was also his business manager and basically a man-dominated industry. She was ruthless, they said. When he sings the song where she's just a woman to me, I think he says she does that to you, does this to you, but she's just a woman to me. His first wife.
The story about that song too, about how the Catholic Church banned it in certain certain places, and yeah, because of the whole thing, and it caused the song to go platinum. So he was like, I'm gonna write more songs for the Catholic Church today.
yeah, you want a song to go freaking platinum, ban it.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a show years ago about the songs that were banned for one reason or another. I remember the South African, it was Alice Cooper, School's Out, or Brick in the Wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pink Floyd was banned from South Africa. They were rioting at the high schools, if I remember right. Interesting. It's funny how powerful music can be. I mean, they were so afraid of Bob Dylan and John Lennon, they wouldn't let Lennon back in the country for a reason. But
what's his name? The comedian was talking about. Bobcat Goldthwait. I actually had one of his stand-up albums.
Yeah. Okay.
One part where he was talking about how he wanted the Washington Wives to ban his record so it would sell a few billion copies.
There you go.
So he said, so he just whispered into the mic, Tipper Gore.
Tipper Gore. That's right, Tipper Gore. You know, I saw the hearings when she took Twisted Sister. In a deposition in court. Those guys, those Twisted Sister, those strange looking dudes are freaking geniuses. I mean, they knew the law. They were very, very professional in the hearings. Yeah. And it was Tippy Gore that was after them to put the parent warning label on it.
Yeah. And, you put that warning label on there, and that just caused, that boosts its sales too. It's just going to make the kids want it.
I think that guy from Twisted Sister thanked her at the end of it all. She said, thank you. We sold a couple million more than we thought we would. Yeah, it's like prohibition. How about we haven't played Piano Man yet.
Could do that. Or I was going to suggest playing the North Pole News. Get a little.
Okay. Let me go scroll back.
This one's got Eddie Murphy as the elf that saw everything.
Here we go. North Pole, right?
Yep.
Yeah, North Pole. Get the volume right. North Pole. Okay, watch your ears.
This is a North Pole News special report.
Good evening. I'm Rick Sugarplum. Breaking news tonight of an incident which led to a fire at Santa's workshop in Toy Production North. Our own Donnie Chestnut is live at the scene. Donnie, what's going on, and will it affect Christmas?
Well, Rick, what we know is there was a fire caused by a knocked-over licorice lamp as elves were fleeing the workshop, but no word yet as to what they were fleeing from. Still looking for answers here.
I saw the whole thing! Welcome back from the Candy Cane Depot. I saw the whole thing!
Okay, it looks like we have an eyewitness here. What's your name, sir?
Don't matter what my name is! I see what happened. A polar bear got into the workshop and started eating elves. I don't know those elves, and I don't work with those elves, but those elves are gone!
Wait, hold on. Is this man saying a polar bear got inside the workshop?
Yes, I believe he is. But, sir, there's an electrified fence around the perimeter.
It don't matter about no electrified fence. The bear came right through the fence. It looked just like Jurassic Park. It just ran through the fence. These bears are out there, and they're hungry because of global warming, and they smelled that fresh elk meat and went crazy. The bears are coming for us, y'all. Ah!
Well, that is some troubling news. Any word on who might have been injured?
Well, no official casualties have been confirmed.
I'll confirm the casualties right now. Look at this leg. Look at this leg. Here, I found this laying down on the ground down there. They're dead. Bears was popping elves in their mouth like Skittles. Not even chewing. Swallowing elves whole. Pointed shoes and all.
Donnie, looks like this could be far worse than originally thought.
Again, Rick, I don't want to speculate as to how serious it is without official word.
Let me break it down for you. I'll tell you how bad it is. This white teenage elf girl ran out here straight up to me, a black elf in sweatpants, and asked me to keep her safe. That's how bad it is.
My friends are still in there.
Girl, they dead. Where's Santa? That's what I want to know. Santa's supposed to be here, and he's nowhere to be found. Christmas is canceled.
No, no, it's not. No, it is not. Please do not announce that, sir. But thanks for the info. What was your name again?
It don't matter what my name is.
Okay, well, responses are already pouring in from the magical being community. The Tooth Fairy via Instagram moments ago. Wings heavy with despair this evening, sending my thoughts and prayers to the North Pole. Some moving words there.
That bitch sound crazy. Sir, we don't need no thoughts and prayers. How about sending some guns and ammunition? Because there's some bear traps. Because more bears are coming. And they're eating it. Eating is good. Don't stay a secret for long. We're up here. We're defenseless. And we're small. We're adorable. And we're chewable.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We are good with you. Rick, here comes an elf who just emerged from the workshop. Ma'am.
Santa knew. He knew that fence was old, and he didn't replace it because it cost 5,000 more gumdrops than he wanted. Our peppermint blood is on your hands.
Listen to this sexy-ass elf right here. When polar bears are in town, the fattest man in the North Pole is nowhere to be found. He's MIA. Pretty convenient, huh? Don't you think? We're just scratching at the surface at this thing. Hashtag Santa knew.
Oh, don't say things like that. Thank you very much. And what is your name again?
It don't matter what my name is. It don't matter.
It does matter for our viewers, please.
All right, my name is Kittle Diddles. I don't like my name. That's why I didn't want to say it.
Okay, well, thank you, Kittle Diddles. Wait, Rick, I think I hear something. It's very faint. I think it's singing.
Hey, that ain't no damn singing. It's the band. The band is coming back. The band is coming back.
I'm Gumby, damn it. I knew who that was.
Yeah. Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
You know, now I ran across a song yesterday. It's a cover song of a Bob Dylan, and it was so... You care if I play it?
Yeah,
I don't even know the names of these... I don't even know the names of these guys that did this, but I heard that... And check it out. It's All Along the Watchtower, a version. It's the best.
Confusion.
that's some illegal use of a wah-wah pedal, man. Jesus. I just thought that was so good. Thanks for letting me play it.
I sent you a video through All Poetry to check out because it made me think of something that I've recently heard All Along the Watchtower played in. They used it as the opening in the opening credits for a BO show called The Young Pope.
Oh, okay. Who plays it? Is it Jimi Hendrix version?
No, it is not. It's another cover.
Okay.
I deleted it.
Yeah, it always pissed me off on the Jimi Hendrix version. Right when he would start freaking jamming after at the end of the second solo, he fades. That's the end of the song. They ended at about 2 minutes, and Dave Mason has a great cover. Did it years before. And he did the same thing. So this guy that I just played, that ending was what we don't get to hear. It's the better part of that. I don't know who that guy was, but I'm going to go find out. So good. And watching the video is half of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Bonamassa. Yep. Okay. Where's the group? Okay.
Devlin is the name of the, says it's an instrumental version of Watchtower by Devlin that they used.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a great instrumental song. It just is. That's one song that, All Along the Watchtower, if you dare try to play that, you better be good. And, As My Guitar Gently Weeps, a lot of bands say that. That's what I gauge bands at. Play As My Guitar Gently Weeps. I'll tell you how good you are. Those are buddies. Okay, there it is.
I sent it through messages, the video. I didn't put it on the board. So you can check it out at your...
Oh, you said commercial. Gotcha. Okay. Let me run back down the hall.
We have
in the studio.
We've got two poems that were dropped for tonight. We probably ought to knock them out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Is the recordings? Is that Gerald? Gerald's one.
Gerald. Yeah, Gerald and Wayne. And, yeah, there should be recordings in there.
Yep, I got them.
Which one do you want to do first?
Right here. Go to Gerald.
All right, let me get it. No, I'll drop
it
on the board.
Right here. Okay, thank you. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, this is ATOV, A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Hang out at allpoetry.com. Free to join. Find us, A Team of Voices, in the group section. Deborah Lee will let you in. Be a part. I just had this last Christmas Eve, I had my 10th anniversary at All Poetry.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
10 flipping years. Thank you. Everybody got it? Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and push the button.
All right.
And here we go.
Warning. Written and read by Gerald Green. This is a hostile place, where a day's worth of sweat becomes a beacon in the night for swarms of starving mosquitoes, willing to trade their blood for mine. Incessant buzzing warns of danger, but there is no remedy for this jungle enemy who infiltrates without relief. Each soldier holds his rifle close, protected by his wall of sand in bags, with bullet chambered, ready to be released and find its way toward noises in the dark. I look for signs and stay alert while waiting for another enemy more cunning than the first, with bullets of his own. High alert was called this afternoon. Within our tiny camp, but few will sleep tonight. My rifle's name is Pearl, in honor of December 7. Although she's found revenge, she thirsts for more. I raise my head and search for movement, any sign, and then my mother's voice calls out, "Duck, James!" Instinctively, my body responds in obedience as a bullet creases my steel helmet, where my forehead was a second ago. The sound of gunfire erupts around me as I wait for more from that familiar voice that now is silent. I don't respond, but Pearl has much to say. End poem.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Drawn from a true story about a mother who was very sick in bed, sleeping, and who suddenly sat up and called out, "Duck, James," and then fell back to sleep. Months later, she received a letter from her son, who heard her voice while serving in the Pacific during World War II. Thank you, Gerald.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks.
Very interesting story. I've never heard that one before, but I like his interpretation of it.
Yeah, you know, it's like the bond between twins.
Yeah.
Some say that they could feel the pain. They could feel the other twin's pain or moods. They know when they're not happy. I would say families were tighter back then. That's all you had on the farm, you know. Close, yeah. So where are the mosquitoes worse in the world? I know Siberia, some of the areas back in, like, with the, what do they call it? It's just frozen ground, and when it's not frozen, it's just quicksand. And if the Alaska's bad.
Really? You'd think that those colder places wouldn't be as bad.
You'd think so, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
I
suppose in the wintertime, they're probably not around.
Yeah, no. I know this over this last summer, they were the worst they have been in years. I don't know what. Maybe it's because we had such a mild winter last winter that it helped, but they were just terrible. And the one time Kay and I went for a picnic in the park, and I swear, we were covered with them trying to eat our dinner. We ended up really not enjoying that at all.
Yeah, it's I remember the time I spent on the farms, the ranch up in Idaho. Every 7 years you get the rabbits would overpopulate, and the grasshoppers, and they would coincide.
Yeah.
when I was up there the 2 years, 2.5 years, they we're both out at the same time, so we had the grasshoppers, which they were crop dusting for. But the rabbits, we went out with a searchlight on the back of a truck with 22 long rifles. That was it. A lot of rabbits. So I was wondering if the mosquitoes do the same thing, or are they more what the environment's like? Do you have extra water around, or I mean, you're right there by the lake, so. Of course you have a lot of water.
It's got to be standing water, though, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't.
And the Erie's a cold lake, isn't it? Is it cold?
Yeah, it is.
I know it's the shallowest.
Mm-hmm. That gets up around in the mid-70s water temperature in the middle of summer, but, yeah, it usually freezes in the winter, usually. But last winter it did not freeze because it never got cold enough.
Oh, there you go. Global warming. I've noticed everybody's freaking out around here, being that the snow line, the timber line, and below, you know, the critters that were at certain elevations are moved to a different elevation. So people are getting infestated with either like a spider breakout or roaches or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, that's what it is. They're just going where it's most comfortable for them.
There's this new spider heading our way called a Euro spider.
Euro.
It's about as big as your hand. But it's a it's an orb weaver, and it's harmless to humans. And it says it likes to eat stink bugs, so I guess in a way it'll be okay to have around.
How do you spell that?
J-O-R-O. Colorful spider.
Okay. And where's it coming from?
I'm not sure where it came from originally, but it's in the Carolinas, I believe. But it actually likes cooler temperatures, so it's making its way north.
Sure, spider. Images. Yeah, we've slowly been getting the brown recluse, you know, coming up the coast from Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Those ain't good.
No, they're not. That's a nasty looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the colored one? The colored one?
Yeah, really brightly colored.
Okay. Wow. And it's as big as your hand.
Yeah, it's funny about the brown. It's actually it's not an aggressive spider. It's a very timid spider. The thing is it'll hide in your shoes or in your clothes, and that's when it gets you.
Yeah. We have, not down here in the valley, but at Timberline, we have scorpions all up and down the Sierras. And you got to be aware that they're there.
Yeah.
You don't put shoes on without shaking them out. Spray them, step on them or something. And, drawers, your closed drawers, don't reach in there with no light. I've never been stung. In fact, I don't know anybody that has been stung. But I remember seeing somewhere at a cabin up in Tahoe, Lake Tahoe, up in Sierras, and out on the porch, there was two scorpions. One was white, almost white, translucent. The other was black. Never seen him before.
Because I used to go to Florida every year. I remember seeing some scorpions down there. I don't know what kind they were. They were small. Never saw anybody get
small.
But I do remember my buddy getting his leg pretty well chewed up by fire ants.
Oh, God. Yeah. Killer bees and fire ants. I learned the farm in California never had anything like that, but when I went to the sage land in Idaho, I learned the first couple of days I was there, you never stand still, and if you do, you better know where you're standing at.
Yeah, that's what he did. He was standing right on the hill.
there was four species of ants up there. None of them were for the fire ants, but there was a big black one, big red one, little red one, and a little black one. And you didn't want any of them on you. It was weird seeing an ant that big being aggressive. You could have run in front of it. But the little ants, and I don't know what it is, they're all over you before you know it. Then all of a sudden you feel them, and then by that time it's too late.
Yep. Did you ever see that movie with Charlton Heston, The Naked Jungle?
Oh, yeah.
You know, with those ants tearing across the country?
Yeah, have you ever read Lenin and the Ants? Lenin and the Ants? Lenin.
That's what they based the movie on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, read the short story, quite intense. When you said that, I saw The Naked Prey the other day. You remember that?
No, I've never seen that.
These English guys, this English safari, were captured by these cannibals, and they killed everybody one off at a time. In most, this is the beginning of the movie, in the most colorful ways. And then the one guy, what he does is they shoot an arrow, and he has that far. They strip him down naked, so he doesn't have any shoes or anything. And as far as that arrow, as soon as he hits that arrow, they're going to come chase him, and he doesn't have anything, no weapons. But one at a time, he's able to kill each one, because when the next cannibal reached that same arrow, the second another guy would start. So there was like a quarter mile between, and right after it's quite intense because there's really no words. It's like a 1960s.
That's a good look for it.
Yeah, they can pray. All right.
I just put Wayne's poem up on the board, so I know he's got an audio in there too. The title is deceiving.
Okay.
I really thought this was going to be a funny one with that title. Sorry, Wayne.
No, I think this is the one. It's come on, reset. Come on. Okay, here we go. Okay, looking for Wayne. He's right there. Okay. Are we ready?
Yep.
Mr. Wayne. This is called The Silence is Deadly by Wayne Gent. As the word was heard, the silence was deafening to my ears. In the age of information, nobody will speak as the end nears. Ten thousand strong, maybe more, with a blank stare on their face. Waiting to go back to their secluded life in a noisy home place. In an age where we're told everything, no one knows anything. Lost in everyday madness, their hearts had no song to sing. Struggling in their daily lives, but too frightened to demand. Sit hopelessly waiting, wishing, wanting someone to command. No visions, no ideals, no perceived notion of what or how to improve. In the shadows they try to hide, but evil comes for their souls to remove. Thinking darkness as a friend, they possess a vision that has no end. Knowing the neon god they worship has no way to allow them to win. Written along the subway walls, the written words nobody ever saw. And the cancer of silence spread with no prophet there to recall. The words not spoken were falling like cold rain they never felt.
only heard were the people not listening as the silence slowly melt. The visions left in my brain is of masses dying to the sound of silence. People no longer cares or even dares to speak up about the violence. And in the massive sound of silence, no one would listen to what was said. With a neon flash, I watched as the people stood silently till they were dead. Then,
there you go.
Hello, Duck. Hello, Darkness, my old friend. Come to speak with you again. That remake of Sound of Silence is a powerful song indeed. It will remain my favorite poem and song. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
And it's been interpreted many different ways, and it's not the same. The same as I'm trying to pull something up here. Paul Simon. Yeah, everybody says it's a war protest song. Now, back then, if you could get banned, they could not let you play it on the radio if it was considered a war protest. So either if it was, Paul Simon denied it being a war protest song for fear that it would, because it's such their version is such a beautiful harmony.
Yeah.
And, the way they put it together. Meaning. Okay, this is his meaning behind Seven Beautiful. Okay, Sound of Silence is a song from the debut Seven Beautiful album. I know it didn't do good at first. The album didn't do well that was released. He wrote the song when he was 21. Paul Simon said he explained that he wrote the song at his first job in music. His job was to take the songs that the publishing company owned, go to record companies, and check if any of their artists wanted to record these songs. He worked for about 6 months and didn't have a single song place, so he gave them a couple of the songs that he felt guilty about taking their money. Then he got into an argument with them and said, "Look, I quit, and I'm not giving you my new song." The song was Sound of Silence. He thought that he would publish it himself, and from that point, Paul owned his own songs. That's cool. It's not bad. 21. But the thought that I gathered from some college reading material, it wasn't something I experienced down deep. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to anyone. It was a post-adolescent angst, but it had some level of truth to it. And it resonated with millions of people, largely because it had a simple and singable melody. That was it. He didn't do it. Hello, Darkness, my old friend from his childhood. He sang, they break it down. That he sang in the bathroom with the lights out, enjoying the acoustics with a doo-wop reverb sound. All right. Well, this is supposed to be about Billy Joel. So let me get back. Let's play another song.
No, actually,
we got about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could do me a favor and let me what would you do?
Absolutely. What do you want to do?
Well, I brought one of my short stories that I put it on the board. This is in the first book of short stories that I released last year called What Lurks. What is it called? What Lurks Behind the Eyelids, yeah. And this story is called, it's the shortest one in the book. It's called Horripilation. And that word means, it's a technical term for when the hair stands up on the back of your neck. That's what this one's called. Horripilation. That noise came from right behind him. There he stood in front of the urinal in pitch darkness. He had finished relieving himself just before the blackout. The building's generator obviously didn't power the lights in the public restroom, so now he couldn't even see the tile wall that was scarcely a foot and a half in front of him. And then that noise came from right behind him. A loud snort followed by a growl. Not even a second after the power went out, he heard it. It sounded inhuman, and it sounded like it was less than a foot from the back of his head. He stood frozen in the blackness. He wanted to try to yell out or scream, thinking that perhaps it would scare whatever the hell it was away, but it just kept getting stuck in his throat and came out as a whistling wheeze. Its cold breath puffed on the back of his neck, making all of his hair stand up. Every one of his hairs, from the top of his head to the knuckles of his toes, stood straight up. A shiver ran from the base of his skull to his tailbone. Then he felt something cold and wet on the left side of his neck. It slid upwards to his earlobe and was withdrawn with a slurping noise, which was followed by another growl. My God, he thought. Did this thing just taste me? The thought of being killed had already come into his mind, but the thought of being a meal never occurred to him until now. His brain raced trying to find a way out of this, and at the same time trying to decipher what it was that was sizing him up. Whatever it is, he thought, it's not warm-blooded, or it's not alive. Two sets of long fingernails traced each of his arms from his shoulders down to his elbows. Not hard enough to draw blood, but definitely enough to leave scratch marks. He suddenly felt the need to urinate again, even though he just had. He let it flow. He couldn't see where he was going, but the sound it was making told him that he was not hitting the urinal. That brought about yet another snort, followed by another growl. Could it be a vampire? His mind was still moving 500 miles per hour. But don't vampires like to toy with you? Then he remembered that movie, 30 Days of Night. In that, the vampires mostly screeched and growled. He shifted his eyes to the left and right. Since there was absolutely no source of light, his pupils could not adjust, and so he saw nothing. But he knew it was normally there. 3 feet to his right were three sinks and a mirror that covered the wall from counter to ceiling. To his left were two more urinals, then three stalls. Directly behind him and the thing were two hand dryers and one paper towel dispenser. Next to them was a door. Next to that was a diaper changing station, and ironically, a condom dispenser. That thought made him start to smile, but another growl put a stop to that. How long had he been standing there with his dick in his hand, trembling like a cat who had just been given a bath? If it wasn't for the fact that he had it out, he surely would have pissed his pants and it seemed an eternity. It was sniffing at him now. The end of his life was surely near. A tear escaped his right eye. A whimper escaped his lips. At that very moment, the fluorescent light fixtures began humming. The gas in the glass tubes began to ignite. Very dull, flickering light at first, but it quickly built into brightness. He turned his head towards the mirror to finally lay eyes upon this thing that had him near the point of fainting and from sheer terror. He expected to see some grotesque reptilian monster, but what he saw was nothing. Nothing. A sound began to rise from his gut. It rose fast up his esophagus and burst through his lips. The sound of his hysterical laughter echoed in the tile-walled restroom. He looked at himself in the mirror and laughed harder. He looked down to see that he was standing in a puddle of his own piss and laughed even harder. He saw that his member was still banging out of his fly, and his laughter turned to bellows. He was laughing so hard his stomach began to hurt. He was laughing so hard he couldn't breathe. But his laughter ended quickly when the light suddenly went out again, and from behind him, he heard a snort, followed by a growl. End story.
Very good, man. Yeah, it's good. I like the part where did he just taste me? Yeah, you know, those public restrooms that are inside the buildings, like casinos, when the lights go out, it is black.
Yes. Yes, it's the same where I work, the public restroom. There's no windows or nothing, and if the power goes out, the generator doesn't power those lights. You are in pitch black. That's where I got the idea.
That was very good. It reminded me of that when I thought I was getting eaten by a bear. And you said, did he just taste me? And it just went, whoosh. Yeah, there's laughing hard. Yeah. Careful what you wish for and don't laugh too early.
Yep.
That is pretty good. You know, I used to dabble when I was writing short stories in school. I like the freedom of the different thought. And you didn't have to end it like a novel ending.
Yeah.
You could end it, you know, like your gargoyle piece.
I actually
have that guy now.
Yeah, I actually converted that into a short story too. That's also in that book.
Cool. Do you end it the same place, same spot, or do you have the guy being followed by this do-gooder gargoyle that's just killing people?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, yeah. So the very, very, massive block off.
Yeah, really, a little, yeah, very Hitchcockian. All right, well, we got, we're down to 9 minutes. We're going to play one more song?
Yeah, did she put Closer to the Borderline in there? Did you maybe refresh?
I'm going to see if it's. I'm going to go looking for it right now. Come on.
The song that hooked me. That's the song that hooked me on him, big time.
Yeah, I would assume she's the Billy other Billy Joel's, but it could be at the bottom of the page. Okay. Tick tick. Yeah, I suppose it should be at the front here. Okay. Gosh darn it. Doing a stupid phone. Yes.
Okay,
there we go. Okay. So, see what this one is.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas by Stephen 76. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and in Arkham cell, the Joker was planning to take Gotham to hell."
Sorry. I couldn't see what that one was labeled. I could just see the arrow. Okay. Now, get over to Billy Joel. And... boy, this file is getting huge. I mean, big E. Okay. Damn. E's. Okay. And we got your... B's. Okay. Finally. The Beatles, Billy Joel. Okay. closer to the borderline. Is that it?
That's the one.
Here comes. I heard early Montrose in that.
Yes.
Sounded like, and maybe some spirit. I've heard that song before.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah. I think it had radio time out here. Well, Steven 76, we're going to be clocked out of here in the next minute. I want to thank you for letting me be your friend.
Of course.
And say hi to the wind for me. Hug. Yeah. And you're welcome to co-host at any time. Just give me a little, tell me when you want to do it. Do a music show or something. All right. And always a woman, honestly, just the way you are. New York state of mind. Gentleman.
Piano Man.
Did we do Piano Man yet?
No, we should do Piano Man.
Okay. Here we go. Thanks, everybody. Tune in tomorrow for AP Taylor, Deborah Lee, Jay Hatter for Hatterday Saturday.
All righty.
See ya.
Good night.
See you, Steven. Good night. Good night.